Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is Karen's confirmation verse, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength, the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I would just read two other verses. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This is our text. Michael, Shirley, Diane and Lyle, family and friends, it's such a hard time, this COVID time, to even get together and have and receive the comfort of God, much less the comfort of one another. Masks and distancing and all of that stuff make it hard. At times like this, we human beings look for comfort and strength in a variety of places. We think about the person who has been called home, and we are overwhelmed with feelings of loss and sadness, and they don't go away within a week or two. We cycle through those things week after week, year after, even year after year. A dear wife is a great loss. We like to think we can push a button. Things will be reset. That's not the way it is. And that's not the way it should be, for we aren't meant to be apart. We can't really prepare for times like this, even through a 6-year battle with cancer. We cannot prepare. You would think that we would get used to the idea, but death is not an idea that we should ever be used to. It wasn't intended, and we will never be comfortable with it. God isn't comfortable with it either. God couldn't stand it. He hated it, and he decided to swallow it up through the work of Jesus Christ and his work alone, not our works. If we come to a day like this trying to find comfort in the works of somebody, we might find some soft comfort. But God does not. He does not deal in soft, fluffy things. He deals with the heart of the matter. We try to find things that assure us that this dear person is safe, resting in peace. We would like to have something that we could point to, a work or a deed, something in their life that would settle us. But God does not leave us to search and cast about for something like that, so uncertain and so unsettled. Because we know, even as Karen confessed, I, a poor, miserable sinner. Those words don't stop when you're baptized or when you're confirmed by Pastor Winnikin, who gave you this beautiful verse. Actually, when you're baptized, that's when those things really begin. A life of repentance begins. When God determined to deal with our enemies, in particular our greatest enemy, death, God in his mercy and kindness settles things on a much more certain and real level. Karen was given this lovely verse on the day of her confirmation by Pastor Winnikin, who did not know what was coming for her, where her life would lead. And yet these words from David 3,000 years ago, these words from David, whose life seemed to be a constant struggle and battle, sing the Lord's answer for Karen and for us today into our ears, to settle us who have been through the lovely times of life with Karen and also some dark times. The Lord reminds us in this text, he says, abbreviatedly, the Lord is whom shall I fear? The Lord is. As we gather today, there are many things to remember, and that is not a bad thing. In fact, funerals used to go on a bit longer. Today, we want to get them done and move on and get back to work. When my mother's father was laid out for visitation, it was 7 days, I believe, a black wreath at the door. People would come over, bring food, sit and visit, and her dad was laying out in the living room. When my wife's grandfather died in Michigan, it was a 3-day visitation. Why? Well, we gather, desiring to find peace and rest. And I'm sure you found some of that in over the last month. The memories and the grief have come, leaving us a desire for more memories, talks, visits, those jokes, that laughter. Even as I came into church, I heard some laughter in the hallway. Laughter at a funeral? How impious. No. Laughter is good. Laughter is good. Not just as a comedy show, but laughter is good because we confess. We confess on the basis of God's word that death was defeated. We sang it in that hymn. The gift of memory can soften days like today. We remember so much of the past, the love and life that was precious to us for so many different reasons. We relish that time, for it is a time to consider the gift of a saint. That's what Paul calls the church, members of the church, the baptized saints, set apart for God's purposes. Saints aren't perfect persons. They're persons who live in repentance and forgiveness day in and day out. But we relish that time, for the Lord was working. He who began a good work in her will bring it to completion, and he did. Well, not quite yet. But he produced in her life the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience. And so that brings us joy also, as we relish the work of God in her life. Those things produced by the Spirit of God and his word. These things which God blessed family and friends with, even during these recent struggles with cancer. Paul says that even as the outer person seems to be passing away, the new man is growing stronger. That's a whole other sermon. The memories do not much more than soften the loss, however. So God prepares for us words. He speaks. When God speaks, everything happens. That's the way things happen. He created the world when he spoke. He created Karen anew when he spoke and applied water. The word became flesh and spoke. The word became flesh and she ate of his body and blood. The word. God speaks. Take and eat. This is my body given for you. My blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Through his word, Karen was saved from sin, death, and the devil by Christ alone. Through his word, Karen was given life that even cancer could not destroy. As a matter of fact, even while the cancer was going on and we prayed week after week here, the scripture says she was getting stronger. We can't see it. That's the point of living by faith. Rather, the Lord is for Karen, her precious shepherd, even now. He's not a was, he is an is. He's her precious shepherd even now. He did not and has never left her or forsaken her. He is perfectly faithful. And so we've bumped into the true comfort that the psalmist gives. We find in the midst of these memories, and all of this talking you'll do today and for however long, the Lord is there. And his promises to Karen and all who trust in him. So as we spend our time and our days considering the gift of this person, we find that the Lord is not done speaking to us. The Lord is her light. The Lord is her salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of her life. All of those things are true today, not because she did anything, not one good thing, but because Christ did everything. I alone am your Savior. God does not abide with anything like that. The Lord is her salvation. These memories speak to the past, but the Lord in that verse did not speak about a was. For even though she died, she still lives. That's a hard thing to understand. When Karen walked through life, when things got dark and difficult, the Lord is her light and still is her light. So that the circumstances, when things seemed to grow dark and dim, the Lord gave her light on the path. The light of his word, the light of his promises, the light that directed her away from the difficulties, away from our own sins, to the light who is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the one and the only one who paid the debt for our sins and went to the cross, and he rose again, declaring us justified because it's finished. Yes, even in the midst of suffering and pain, her eyes were fixed on Jesus, or shall we say her ears were fixed. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Even in the midst of doubt and hopelessness, sadness and sorrow, the light of the Lord's work for her would not be darkened. As the psalmist said in Psalm 23, which we sang earlier. He was leading her through this world, the good times and the difficult times, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And we have no need to fear, for he was with her, and he is with her, and she is with him, as we sing, a child of paradise. The light pointed her to the Lord, who is her salvation. She didn't have to trust in herself. She didn't have to look in herself for anything that she had done. She would never find comfort that way. The Lord alone is her Savior. He came into the world to pay her debt, but beyond that, to lead her through this fallen world, this veil of tears, to final health and healing. The word salvation means to be healed and restored to what God intended you to be when he first created you in the garden. Salvation means to be restored to the image of your Father, to be healthy and healed. No more sorrow, pain, sickness, death. All who live and die in this faith have the promise that the Lord who began this good work will bring it to completion. And she lived in that faith. And she is finally home, awaiting that time when all will be healed and right, the day of resurrection. The Lord is the stronghold of her life. Imagine how many dark and difficult thoughts surround you as you go through any kind of illness, but cancer is especially one that shakes you. It's not anything but relentless, usually. Even now, the Lord is the stronghold of her life. The psalmist says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. She rests safe from all evil, even as he kept her and protected her, her refuge and strength. And she made her way through this valley of sorrows. She waits for the day when all will be gathered into that final home where sin and death have no foothold or effect and we will no longer grieve. The Lord is. That gave her comfort. Certain comfort in which she could rest when overwhelmed. Certain comfort so that she could die without fear. a child of paradise. Not because of anything she's done. But that's not all we have today. And so we come to the end and we hear those words. And they weren't just for her, just because the pastor decided, Pastor Winnikin decided this would be a good verse for her. But the words of David were given by the Spirit through David to you. The Lord is our light and our salvation and our stronghold. The Lord is. I know the world likes to talk about, you know, it doesn't believe in God, and there's a trend of atheism running here and there, comes up, goes away. We don't pay attention. In fact, it's a fascinating thing when you start to think about that. In Romans 1, God says there is no real atheist in the world. Everybody knows God exists. He's revealed it to him, Paul says. They just suppress it. Try to push it down, ignore. Whistling past the graveyard. We Christians don't whistle past graveyards. We sing in them. We rejoice in them. We know that they are the safest place on the earth, for the deer planting of the Lord are being watched over by the God who redeemed them. They are precious in his sight. The Lord is for us. The same shield behind which at times like this fears are quenched and we can stand. As the hymn writer of For All the Saints says, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. The Lord is for us. We grieve, but not as those who have no hope, 1 Thessalonians 4. The whole world grieves, sometimes very dramatically. Christians have this kind of two sides to it. Yes, we weep, we cry, we're sad. We miss this person. But we have joy. Joy because the Lord is. The Lord is our salvation. And so we carry on. We carry on in his light. Therefore, as Christians, we walk forward with our eyes fixed on Christ, the light of the world. When times get dark and sadness encroaches, we fix our eyes on Christ and his promises to us. Reminding us that we can rest and rejoice. Yes, rejoice at a time like this. For there is one who has conquered death. The one who is for us. And who has proven it by dying on the cross. The light of Christ overcomes the darkness of death. And whenever we find ourselves overwhelmed, we find his words. The Lord is. We continue in his salvation. We give thanks that the hurt and grief of this death will be healed completely on that last day. And we too look forward to spending eternity with this person, healed and restored. Not because of anything we've done, but because Christ came into this world as a savior. The word literally means healer, restorer. That's what he came to do. We could not restore ourselves, but he came to do it. And we will once again be with those whom we love, healed and restored, gathered together in and through the saving work of Christ. And then also we are in his stronghold. He will speak when we are assailed and struggling, and those words will provide a refuge and a strength. Those words will settle and calm us down. He will remind us we have nothing to fear, for he is strong enough. He is strong enough to deal with all of our enemies, all of our challenges, all of our difficulties. We take these words as our words, for they were given to us 3,000 years ago. And they give us rest and color our memories. Oh, that's why we can rejoice. Because these words give a beautiful picture of what God is doing. They color our memories of this person that we must say goodbye to with joy. Joy over what the Spirit worked. Joy that we receive that person as a gift. Joy. For the finish, the end of that work, when we will be with them forever. The psalmist I read to you before says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek." One thing, David. David was a king. He was rich. He had a desire to build a temple, remember? Saved $4 to $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and everything else to give. He was a man who understood the one thing needful. One thing, he says, "I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Ah, that's where it ends too, doesn't it? When a disease, when cancer, when any one of a number of thousands of things can come upon us, there's the one thing needful. The one thing we seek, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We wait now for the time to pass, for time to be done. We wait. It's hard to wait, but that's the way the psalmist ends the psalm. But we wait when we shall find our way home through whatever struggles and trials are before us. But we go forward with confidence, for we believe that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The psalmist said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The goodness, that's what he did. Karen, his intention for Karen was that she would be good and beautiful. She was born into a fallen world, and so Christ came to restore the goodness so that everything would be good. And so there she waits. And we believe we will see. We will see the goodness of the Lord. We will see the work he spent all this time doing. The work that he planned from before time. But in the meantime, it's hard. And so the psalmist ends Psalm 27 with these words. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. For the Lord is, and we shall not fear." Amen.